ever wondered what affects the pricing, the coverage, or the availability of the insurances that you buy? My name is Peg Vaghey. I'm the executive manager at Broker Relationships here at CGU. CGU is a proud Australian company. We're owned by IAG, and for over 160 years, we've been insuring Australians and Australian businesses through the insurance products that we supply. We prepare the Strive Report every year. This is our third edition, and we really prepare the Strive Report so that we can coalesce all of the social, environmental, and economic factors that affect the insurances that you buy. Our aim is to make it really easy for you to unpack the reasons why your insurance might change and maybe help you prepare for the conversations that you're going to have with your broker or your insurers if you're coming up for renewal. This is the third edition of our Strive Report, and in this report, we're going to talk about some topical things like AI, claims, how is that affecting claims, and many, many more topics that I hope that you're going to join me for. We're currently joined by Con Backus. He's a chief underwriting officer at Silo, and he's going to chat with us about cyber and cybersecurity and a few other things that are adjacent to that. So welcome, Con, and thank you for joining us. What is Silo?
Silo is a new agency that was created early this year, backed by IAG, and obviously in market with the assistance of CGU. We're there to really ring fence and provide solutions around cyber insurance to our brokers. So Silo was set up after a lot of work behind the scenes in setting up a prototype to really digest what's happening. It is rapidly evolving, as I said. The risk that we foresee now is something that we need to look at very differently. So we had to pivot the entire solution. We had to look at how we measure the risk, what the risk looks like, and how we react and respond to the consequences of that risk. And so we actually sit upon in making an ecosystem that brokers and clients alike could actually look at and work within. That was more about a proactive, continuous, and reactive risk management process.
Well, cyber is certainly one of those risks, I think, that keeps businesses, directors, business owners, retail shops, I think everyone is concerned about cyber. Is that kind of, you know, is the risk the same for everyone, or...
There was a recent study completed that it was a D&O liability study, and it showed brokers across the globe, they were given 28 areas of risk. Five out of the top seven were cyber related. Mm-hmm. The number seven risk was not having enough knowledge on the board about cyber events and incidents. So it really is getting a lot of press. It is getting a lot of airtime in boards and in management meetings. And it's trickled down. And look, cyber insurance has been around in Australia for over two decades. But its rapid evolution has now moved from a corporate-only program to now hitting mid-market and SMEs. And hackers aren't stopping at just, you know, trying to exfiltrate data out of corporates. They're seeing SMEs as an easier target. So, yeah, it's definitely evolving very, very quickly.
For an SME, and in my conversations with brokers as well, I think a lot of them think, well, why do I need, you know, cyber insurance when I've got Norton antivirus softwares, or I've got, you know, Bob, who's my tech guy, who makes sure that everything is backed up on the cloud? What would you be your response to that?
From our point of view, what we're seeing is even at a basic level, some of the critical elements that companies use in terms of baseline risk management, like malware protection, like backups, is not necessarily enough. Mm-hmm. Hackers are becoming very courageous and clever in terms of the way they're attacking systems, the way they're hacking systems. AI has come into it, and machine learning is creating a world of pain for everybody.
And is are you seeing that with AI, which you touched upon, is it getting a little bit faster, the level of attacks, or what is it just getting better? What are you seeing around, you know, the kinds of attacks that we're getting?
Yeah, it's AI's, I mean, AI's now obviously something that's been around for a long time, and it's exponentially and fundamentally an incredibly important part of most enterprises' IT toolkits. When you say that, hackers are using AI as well, and they're using it to look at greater accuracy of data. They're looking at it to find their own efficiencies of scale and economies of scale. They're looking at it to be able to replicate what a human element of a hacker would do, but in real time and a lot faster. So when you look at AI in terms of hacking, you're looking at the ability to use machine learning to potentially fast track a trial and error of multiple passwords, hundreds of thousands of passwords across a corporation to actually find the one that you need to actually get into someone's system. For a hacker to do that from a human element, it would take weeks, months, if not years. But AI is actually making that process a lot quicker. Some of the areas that AI's and from a hacking point of view and a cyber event point of view is making life easier for them. Social engineering is now becoming an AI fundamental exercise where it's a machine learning based event where hackers allow certain algorithms to breach into systems, create emails that look very realistic. This machine learning ability allows them to become a little bit more personal. It allows a hacker to infiltrate a company system and understand who the key people are within those organizations, what validations they've got and what authority levels they've got.
So they're using AI to figure out who to social engineer? Is that what they're doing?
Yep.
Right. Okay.
And then you've got areas apart from social engineering, which is obviously something that most companies see on a daily basis. Then you've got deepfakes. And deepfakes is that ability to not only mimic someone's looks, appearance, voice, mannerisms. So AI is making our world a little bit more difficult. It is very difficult to not only underwrite for it, but it's obviously very difficult for companies to protect against it.
And I was watching this on 60 Minutes actually recently, where you know the technology around being able to do deepfake and copy people, you know, is so easy to get your hands on. But more importantly, how complex and business-like a lot of these hacker operations are. So are you finding that they're targeting any specific industry? Or are they kind of just going, you know, we'll go after, I don't know, retail shops, or are they just equal opportunity attackers?
They're equal opportunity attackers. If they don't really focus on specific industries, obviously they're business people and they want to get maximum bang for their buck. So they'll attack industries where they know that they can collect data. And, you know, when we look at economies and we try and price crude oil and gold and bullion and all that, we actually don't try and value what data is. And data is critical for most businesses. What hackers are doing now is just trying to find businesses that just don't have the necessary controls. What's happened over the last 20 years is initially it was targeted at large corporates. Large corporates have the resources to protect their systems and have critical infrastructure that allows for that overall security. And it's now dropped down a few levels, now into the mid-market. An Accenture crime security survey more recently showed that 43% of all cyber attacks were SME related. But here's the problem that we face. Only 20% of SMEs in Australia buy standalone cyber. When you look at it and you think it's actually challenging to look at all the data sets and all the statistics and the facts that we're seeing, but SMEs still aren't buying it. The average cyber claim cost is about $46,000 for SMEs, and that rises to about $97,000 for larger mid-markets.
And what are those costs kind of, you know, is that just replacing your computers or what is that?
It could be system costs to you know, get the system to where it was. It could be an extortion or ransom payment. It could be the costs of business interruption. They're just some of the areas. But there's also regulatory and legislative aspects of that cost as well. There could be defense costs that are paid because someone's breached the Privacy Act or breach of stat duties.
Right, yeah, yeah. And that includes the BI component as well, right?
The BI is huge, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So if I'm a retailer and, you know, I don't really have data or sensitive, private, or protected data, the fact that I can't operate, that's the
cost
kind
you a
of
lot
stuff
of money.
Yeah, that will cost me a lot of money.
Correct.
And is it also around the expertise that, you know, what the heck do I do
And that's the thing. And what we try and do is obviously the government has an essential eight, which is the eight principles, governing principles of what makes a good cybersecurity plan. One of them is to have an incident response. And critical to what we do, and we talk about our three R's of resist, respond, recover, the response element is our relationship with Crawford and that incident response. It is almost impossible for most organizations, especially SMEs, and their brokers to know what to do when something like that happens. So as quick as an email or a phone call, we've got people on the ground in Australia that can actually look at the incident, analyze what the issue is very quickly, and then triage and have a solution as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Our fundamental notion when it comes to incident response is trying to get SMEs back on their feet. So as I said, the stakes are high.
Yeah.
And that's where I think we look at the situation where we're and our brokers are facing it.
In your three R's, you said resist, response, and recover. Resist? What is that all about?
I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
Resist is the first layer of what we provide. As I said, we've created an ecosystem where brokers, Silo, and our clients can all work together. And resist is the first element where we scan our clients to see if there are any vulnerabilities. We use UpGuard, and we've got a great relationship with UpGuard. And what they do is provide us with, upon getting a URL from the client, an external assessment and audit of a company's vendors, digital surfaces, so things like domains, IPs, cloud applications, and any open ports or areas where a company might be holding or sorting personal identifiable information. We get a score through UpGuard, and the score gives us a decent amount of knowledge and insight as to how cyber strong a company is. And we don't have to ask those questions in a proposal. The scoring itself is fully integrated on our online platform.
When you scan something, is that based on, do I have to give you a ton of information if I was an SME or?
Just a URL.
Just a URL.
Yeah. And then UpGuard use their proprietary technology to do the rest.
And then they are able to also see my suppliers, and is that all connected to just that URL?
Yeah, we can see what the risk, hygiene, and posture is of vendors, third and fourth level suppliers as well.
But what's the rest of the proposal form look like? Do I have to like answer a ton of questions?
We have a shortened prop because of the ability to actually do that scan. The way we look at our prop is the ability to have more of a risk culture and risk management overview of what the directors and the owners of the company look at. And so it's the way we see it is our inside out view of the company, and UpGuard do the outside in. So between the score and the risk culture and risk management protocols that a company looks at, such as security controls, we get a fairly good idea very quickly as well as to the overall risk hygiene of the company.
So if I'm an SME and I want to get a quote from Silo through my broker, how much information do I give? How long is it going to take me to get a quote from you?
If the broker's got all the information. You can get a quote within 5 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
And you can bind it on the spot.
And then how long do I have to wait to get this scan?
The scan happens instantaneously.
Right. Right.
So you get the score pretty much as you finish the proposal.
Right. And will I get that score even if I don't buy Silo?
You always get the score.
Right.
For our partner brokers, what we're doing is offering the report at quote stage. But if you bind with us, you get the report all the time. But it doesn't stop there. And this is the continuous risk management that I talk about. We don't believe that the journey ends when you bind with us and then we talk to you in 12 months. So using UpGuard's technology, we actually monitor the scoring of all our clients on a daily basis. If the score drops or increases, we automatically send out a report to the client and the broker. And that's incredibly important when you're trying to manage a risk, because if the score drops, it's maybe because the vulnerabilities actually come up. It might have been that their malware subscriptions hasn't been renewed, or they've forgotten to update or put a patch in place. So the score will reduce. And we've had a couple of incidents where the score's reduced. We've sent out a report and the client's been really proactive about it. They've fixed the problem through the recommendations that we provide. And then they come back and saying, can you actually check my score? And the score's gone up.
Wow. Yeah. And I guess that's really important. It's better to prevent something from happening than waiting for an attack to actually happen.
I think that the refreshing thing, if you can call it refreshing, when we've been talking to our brokers is the constant theme about cyber incidents and cyber claims is they're usually horrible. And when you actually give them, you know, our proposal and the way we do things, you almost see that relief in that, okay, I'm not at this alone. I'm not relying on a proposal to actually just get insurance, that I've got this mechanism and support from Silo to actually provide us with a level of assistance so we don't go it alone and we're not then just faced with a cyber claim, which is, as I said, a very difficult process most times.
Yeah. So, Con, pretend that I'm an SME, I'm a small business. I don't currently have cyber insurance. What would you say to me to convince me?
There are some high-level cyber insurance statistics that show that 14% of SMEs are ready for a cyber attack. And cyber SMEs are actually the perfect target for hackers because they've got this ability to spend some money on a small amount of security, but they can't continue doing it just like a large corporate. So the costs of setting up security infrastructure, the cost of educating their employees and maybe having, you know, phishing simulations in place, the continuing costs of IT consultants running through the organizations or even employing an IT manager. At some point, that's unbearable for most SMEs.
I'm going to pivot a little bit, just kind of this is adjacent to, I guess, cyber. The Strive report talks about maybe where, you know, cyber exposures could go into the future, and the metaverse is one of those things. Currently, a lot of those applications are with gamers. So Roblox is one of them. And please don't let me explain what Roblox is. I tried to figure it out, but I still don't get it. But Roblox is one of them. And in Roblox, apparently there was a Gucci bag, a Roblox Gucci bag that was sold for more than what an actual Gucci bag could cost. What do you think is going to happen, like, when in the world of like cybersecurity companies as we sort of enter this new phase of the metaverse?
It's scary, isn't it? You talk about AI previously, and now you're talking about metaverse, which is again another platform that allows almost virtual reality to take over. Anytime you introduce something like that, there is and enterprises and companies and individuals, and you talk about NFTs and NFT fraud and
Another thing I cannot explain.
Yep.
No matter how much I look into it, NFTs. Yeah.
Yeah. But that is just another element where hackers can actually get involved. They're opportunistic, and if they find an ability to either get data or make a buck, they'll do that.
So not only is there going to be a fake Gucci bag in the real world, there could be a fake Gucci bag in the metaverse too.
I probably wouldn't be buying it, but for all the kids out there who have got access to Roblox, hopefully they don't have access to mum and dad's credit card. But yeah, it's stunningly difficult to actually realize where, as an industry, but also overall where we're going, and hackers will just see an opportunity to once again just infiltrate, get data, sell virtual assets for Bitcoin because it's very hard to trace, and unfortunately, it's going to be businesses and individuals alike who have to go through it.
Thank you so much, Con. I've learned a lot about cyber attacks, cybersecurity, the importance of it, in particular for SMEs, and more importantly, you know, how the product that you have is, you know, helping protect them, but also helping like them educate themselves around, you know, what they can do to resist, respond, and recover. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The Shirai Report is a ready reckoner for our customers about all things insurance. So if you want to get your hands on the Shirai Report, contact your broker. And if you don't have a broker, please visit the website for the National Insurance Brokers Association to find a broker near you. From all of us here at CGU, thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you at the next edition of the Shirai Report.